Let us pray. Gracious God, as we turn to your word for us, may your spirit rest upon us. Help us to be steadfast in our hearing, in our speaking, in our believing, and in our living. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Exodus, the 16th chapter, the 2nd through the 15th verses. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died in the land of by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.' This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." This past week, I listened to former South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy's new book, It Doesn't Hurt to Ask. In one of the later chapters, he talks about being careful not to use big words such as always, never, everyone, no one, and a lot of others. When he was questioning someone and they use one of these words, he wants to know the person's definition of these words. He wants the person making the statement to give the names of the specific persons who make up everyone. He knows never is a very long time. He also knows, since the person has not personally interviewed everyone, the person cannot speak for everyone. As soon as I began reading this passage from Exodus, my eyes began to glass over, because the author says this about the children of Israel: "And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses. Every man, woman, and child, all of them, are mad with Moses and Aaron, and they're not keeping it to themselves. They are all grumbling about it." As if this condemnation is not enough, they all accuse Moses and Aaron of bringing the entire assembly out into the desert in order to starve the entire assembly to death. Who told Moses this anyway? Was it Miriam, his sister? Who told him? Who told him everyone was unhappy? Talk about a downer. I would imagine Moses was distraught, angry, and frustrated. Any number of emotions are going through his mind. Talk about a vote of no confidence. If I were Moses, I'd be trying to find the quickest way out of town. I could hear Moses. "There I was, minding my own business, tending my father-in-law's sheep. I had it made. All the sheep, well, most of the sheep, were grateful for the care I was providing. Yes, every now and then, one or two would go astray. But for the most part, they were always grateful for me finding them grass to eat and protection from the elements and the predators. Why would God call me to attempt to be the shepherd for this ungrateful flock of stiff-necked grumblers? I could see Moses going out to the South 40 and crying out to God, "Why didn't you call me to be a monk in a monastery, isolated from such grumblers? I did what you asked me. I went where you told me to go. I did what you told me to do. I said to Pharaoh what you told me to say. Now, this is the thanks I get." These grumblers have always been with us, haven't they? I'm reminded of the story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man from Jericho who climbed the tree to see Jesus. And Jesus stops on his way by and tells him to come down out of the tree. Jesus tells Zacchaeus that he's going home with him, and Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus. Luke 19:7 reads, "All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be a guest of a sinner.'" I wonder, what's the difference between a grumbler and a mutterer? I'm not sure, but this I know, neither are very happy. In 1 Samuel 8, the descendants of these grumbling people complained to Samuel that they want a king like all the other countries around them. And the Lord tells Samuel, "The people are not rejecting you, but are rejecting the Lord." We see this again in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 10, where Jesus sends out the 72. And the last thing Jesus tells them before they go out, "He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." Apparently, this is a condition of our heart. Oftentimes in our grumbling against Moses, Samuel, the 72, the teacher and the pastor, we reject the message. And in so doing, we reject the messenger and the one who sent the messenger to. In our grumbling and muttering, are we really grumbling against God? Or is our grumbling really out of our disappointment at ourselves and those around us? While in seminary, I had a professor named Dr. Gareth Scott. He was a retired United Methodist pastor in the South Carolina Conference who had a reservoir of full of wisdom. One day, we were talking about ministry in general, and a fellow student asked Dr. Scott for some advice. And he began telling a story where a member of this student's church came up to him after worship and verbally attacked him. She told him all the ways he was destroying her church. Dr. Scott asked him what he did or said, and the student said he was so surprised by the whole incident, he did not know what to do. So he just remained quiet. And when she got through and quit attacking him, he just told her, "I'm sorry you feel that way." Dr. Scott then told us, when someone comes out of nowhere and begins verbally attacking you, take a deep breath and try to look past the individual to what is really going on in that person's life. He went on to say, 9 out of 10 times, there is something else going on with them. The next week in class, the student told us he had had a chance to meet with the lady, and he learned she had just received a life-altering diagnosis, and they had the opportunity to talk it out. In these days of our own wilderness, how do we take a step back and check our grumbling and muttering at the door? Let's all start by taking what is known as a cleansing breath and realize that we all find ourselves in the desert at one time or another. And then I want us all to covenant together to set aside time to pray, both in the morning and before you go to bed, for the year 2020. After our cleansing breath, let's begin by praising God for 20 things, or persons, or blessings in your life. Regardless of what you're experiencing, you have something or someone to praise God for. And then let's take time to confess the ways we have failed to bring joy into other people's lives that day and in the day before. Then lift up 20 persons and or things in prayer. God knows we all need it, and we all know persons who need it more than most. Lastly, let's pray for ourselves, that our conversations, our attitudes, and our actions would be pleasing to God and uplifting to others. When we earnestly begin to do this, I'm convicted. I'm convinced we all will experience deliverance from the desert where we all have been residing. Let us pray. Lord, help us to be willing to unleash your Holy Spirit into our lives. Let us make room in our lives for prayer. Help us open our hearts and minds to remember the ways, things, and people we need to praise you for. Help us to crave praising you and being more grateful. May your Spirit truly convict us and burden us to be willing to admit we really have nothing to mutter or grumble about. And when we do, may we be willing to confess and repent for these actions. Lord, bring to our minds the people and situations where prayer is truly needed. And when we lift them up, may we accompany our prayers with tangible actions. Lastly, help us to not be an instrument of grumbling and muttering, but an instrument of your joy. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.